Good afternoon, hello. Peter Lynham.
Hello, how are they?
Kia ora, mate.
How are you going?
Whereabouts are you situated on this sunny afternoon?
Well, I have climbed Mount Eden, but I'm back sitting at home in front of my computer.
Oh, very nice. No vehicles allowed up Mount Eden still? Is that the gist?
Yeah, that's right. We walked the whole way.
It's actually quite nice, isn't it?
It's a really nice thing to have to do. It's good. It's good.
Right on.
I have a friend who does it every day, and I'm so impressed. That's right.
I actually heard a good quote today. Don't climb the mountain so that people can look at you. Climb the mountain so that you can see the view.
That's good. Very good.
So that you can see the world, not so the world can see you. That's actually probably better. I butchered it. Let's get on with the segment.
Yes.
What's on the cards this afternoon, Peter?
Inspiring little piece. Yes. So, most interesting news over the weekend, that Michael Nazir Ali, former very, very prominent Anglican bishop, has converted to Catholicism. And the reason why this is interesting is that he doesn't represent the sort of person who's just about a Catholic already, long before he joined the Catholic Church. He's not from what we call the high church end of the spectrum, but he's from the evangelical end of the spectrum. So that's the conservative Protestant group within the Anglican Church. And for him to choose to become a Catholic then is a pretty striking indication that the tensions in the Catholic Church, in the Anglican Church, are not being solved in quite the way people have thought by the so-called GAFCON movement.
Wait a second. What tensions are you talking about, and what's the GAFCON music? Movement.
We'll stop you there, Peter. What?
I'm confusing you with the terminology.
Yes.
And I knew I would, but I needed to raise that.
We're just silly dum-dums, mate, all right?
So. Yeah, that's right. No, you're not. But you just... As with a lot of things, religion has a mighty lot of
words,
sort of strange abbreviations.
Right on.
But if you master those, you're almost home and hosed. Now, during the 90s and in the last 20 years, the Anglican Church has veered pretty much towards appeasing the liberal side of society.
Right.
So that's to say, it's found a place for women as clergy and bishops.
Respecting gays and all that.
Found a place for gay people, transgendered, you know. So it's pretty much gone the way of liberal Protestant churches everywhere. And despite considerable resistance in the British Isles and in various parts, from the conservative end of the spectrum, the majority has pretty much solidly in the Western world been towards the liberal end, led by America and Scotland, followed up by others. Mm-hmm. Now, there has been a powerful conservative movement within Anglicanism, and that powerful movement has had two sides. One side's been the Catholic side, the people who pretend ever since the early days of the famous founder of Anglo-Catholicism, John Henry Newman, Cardinal Newman, who became a Catholic in 1845. There's been a significant element in the Anglican Church who believed that Anglicanism was improved Catholicism.
Right.
So that...
That's convenient.
And so they were very... They tended to be quite interested in the things that were emphasized within the Catholic world.
Okay, so how radical is this change that old mate's done? Is it kind of like weird that...
Well,
is everyone like, whoa, hang on a minute, you've got a red shirt on, you're not allowed to hang out here, kind of thing? Or?
Yeah, he is not of that Catholic group.
Okay.
He's of the tub-thumping Protestant tradition within the Anglican Church. So he was originally raised a boy as a Catholic in Pakistan. But the Pakistan church is dominated by the group that we call the evangelicals. So those are the parts of Anglicanism that want as little to do with Catholicism as possible. The Anglican church is a Protestant church. Henry VIII and his wives is simply an occasion for a break with the Roman Catholic Church, which is, in fact, firmly denounced by Anglicanism. So that's their interpretation. And that's where Michael Nasir Ali sits.
Okay.
And he had been involved in the group that had rebelled against Anglicanism and had formed this separate Anglican church, which was essentially an evangelical Anglican church, has branches in New Zealand. There's been a little split in New Zealand, but there's been a significant split in various parts of the world, especially in America. So why has he given up and gone to the Catholic Church?
Follow the money, I reckon.
So the logic seems to have been that the Catholic Church 10 years ago created something, which actually we did talk about a long, long, long time ago, back in 2010, and it was called the Ordinariate. So it created a kind of phony Anglicanism within the Catholic Church that allowed married priests, looked like an Anglican church in as much as an Anglican church looks different from a Catholic church, but is obedient to the Pope. And that's what Nasir Ali has switched sides to. And what I think it means is that he considers that the GAFCON attempt to create a kind of parallel Anglicanism has failed, and that the only way to resist evil liberal influences is by being a Catholic.
Are there any liberal Catholics at all?
Of course there are stacks of liberal Catholics, and their hearts sink every time another conservative Protestant switches over and becomes a Catholic to avoid the insidious tendencies within Protestantism.
How Star Wars is it? Who's the goodies and who's the baddies, just from an objective point of view?
Well, it depends if you regard the liberals as the goodies and the conservatives as the baddies.
I think on a global scale, probably you would call the liberals goodies at this stage, just because most of the people in the world are kind of leaning in that liberal direction, it would seem. Maybe definitely school, colleges and media, I would argue, but
that's kind of
the birthplace of ideas. So, yeah.
Yes, the exception, of course, is that in the global south, where it's a very different picture, liberals are in the tiny minority, and where, I mean, in some ways, I think it's highly influenced by Islam. So Islam and Christianity become more and more like each other.
Wow.
Try to outdo each other in conservatism in their defense of what they call the traditional truths of Christianity.
It might be but as well. Sorry, mate, carry on.
Well, it's in a way, I don't think that the traditional truths of Christianity, that the traditional truths of effectively Africanism.
Right. I think the liberal voice is amplified at the moment as well, so you might not hear.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. That's very true. Mm. And my angel has just fallen off my wall.
Oh
goodness. That obviously lamenting the,
did it break? I actually broke my mum had like a Mary at home, and I broke it one time, and I tried to glue it back together, and it got totally busted. But it lasted like a year before she noticed. So it's really
no, my angel will be fine. Just a photograph.
Sweet.
And it was only to improve. I put it there to improve the vision of people seeing me on Zoom who were complaining about dull.
He's legit. Look, he's got an angel on his shoulder.
That's right. Anyway, what I think is going on is that Anglicanism is in a bit of a sticky position. Its status was originally as the state church of England and of all the English hangers-on like New Zealand.
Right. So quite broad.
Yes, and so it tried to accommodate everybody. But the thing is, it's not as though anybody's rushing to become a Christian these days.
Yeah, exactly.
Rushing to look for the respectable church. Anglicanism's respectability counts for very little today. So we're left with this situation where, in a way, the appeal of the international conservative church is so much stronger when Anglicanism just goes with the tide.
Right. I guess you're going to see where everything's most popular and try and resonate with that first rather than any niche little nook or cranny.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
I would have thought that Anglicanism would have mopped up all the stragglers that were looking for something else, and by being slightly more liberal, they may have achieved that. But obviously, you're saying that's not the case.
Well, the trouble is that exactly Anglicanism what does it stand for? It comes lately to a liberal position.
Mm.
But actually, in the religious world, or we can easily see in New Zealand that the tide of conservatives is probably more concentrated in the religious world than it is in the secular world. And so religions, if they have to choose, they pay a big price for what they choose.
It's interesting stuff. It's interesting, discussing these things as the world evolves, isn't it?
It's very intriguing because it's, you know, one might argue that a person like Nasir Ali is a straw in the wind that says that in the long term we're going to get moral conservatives rallying to Catholicism, and that Francis's attempt to liberalize the church will fail, and that the more liberals will gravitate in the... Well, where will they gravitate? That's the puzzle.
A new religion.
Are they just going to get steamrolled by the conservatives?
Excuse me, John.
Well, I mean, of course, a lot of moral liberalism is shaped by secular forces rather than by religious forces. So there's no natural rallying place, perhaps, within a forms of liberal Christianity. Perhaps there are, or perhaps a new religion will emerge.
This is sounding way more Star Wars, especially when you said forces a couple of times.
And a new religion will emerge?
Yeah, just a wise council led by a random little green thing. Awesome.
Okay, well, it could be. What's the space?
Right on. Well, we'll be checking in with you, no doubt. Thank you very much, Peter Lynham.
Excellent.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.